This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show.
As a Jet fan, we are conditioned to be expecting that other shoe to drop. We are so emotionally broken that, yes, we can envision, you know, going to Seattle and winning this game. We can see Miami beating the Patriots, and then it's going to come down to a Week 18 game in Miami, you know, presumably against a backup quarterback, and then they lay an egg. I want the reversal of fortunes. I started the season by saying, just give me relevant football in December. I want the playoffs. Relevant football, I'm not satisfied with that. Once you get to relevant football, you want the playoffs, and that's what I'm hoping for right now. So that's my expectation. And I think that if they don't get it, it's a disappointment to go from 7-4 to missing the playoffs when all it took is 9 wins to get in.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
5 o'clock hour. NYC, Dan Crossett, Ty Butler. It's the Michael K. Show. 98.7 ESPN. We're taking it right up until 7 o'clock. Larry Hardesty will then take it for 60 minutes right into Knicks Mavericks coverage. Knickerbockers beginning their Texas road swing tonight down in Big D. But if you want to catch some of that Michael K. Show 20th anniversary and relive some of those moments, you can catch the Unplugged segments on the ESPN New York app. Just download the free ESPN New York app, scroll down to the Unplugged tile, and enjoy Episode 1. It's live right now. It's brought to you by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games like Powerball and Mega Millions on your phone. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. Got to be 18 or older to play. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and they want help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Ty, a lot of football today, as you would expect. Week 17 ahead of us for the Jets and the Giants. Jets and Seattle Giants at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Both teams, of course, need a win to continue their playoff dreams. Giants in a little bit better shape. It's pretty simple for them. You beat the Colts, you're going to the playoffs. Jets need to win out. They need a Patriot loss, but still, a lot better a scenario that you could have hoped for if you're a local football fan compared to the way things have been for the last several years.
And everything just worked out perfectly this past weekend. And then, you know, news broke yesterday that Mike White was starting. So you get that revelation, and now you feel a lot more confident in this team's ability to go out there and play a Seahawks team that did start the year off pretty well. Like, it's not that long ago we were asking, is Pete Carroll the coach of the year? Geno Smith, could he get some MVP votes? But they've fallen off. So this is a very winnable game for the Jets. And I mentioned this in the last hour. It's hard to win a game. I don't care how good your defense is if you're not scoring touchdowns. The Jets have 4 touchdowns in the past 4 games. So you would hope that the problem in the past, which has been, you know, the red zone offense, they just can't seem to punch it in. They're kicking field goals. You should be able to go out there and score on the Seahawks. And as you mentioned, you know, their rush defense is not good at all. So hopefully that leads to some success for Michael Carter, some success for Zonovan Knight, and that can open things up in the play-action game, and Mike White can throw some darts, and the Jets can get this victory on Sunday.
And again, we'll find out, you know, we'll get our answers, as you said, on Sunday, but you wonder if there's any correlation. You know, we asked the coach about that yesterday when we had him on, the fact that the last 2 games is really where there's been nothing out of the run game, right? I mean, there were some spurts in the Buffalo game, but Buffalo's, of course, a top defense. So if you can't run the ball up in Buffalo, you know what, that really isn't too much of a surprise. But the last 2 weeks against the Lions, the Jaguars, not good defenses, and you couldn't get anything going on the ground. You just wondered if that was a byproduct of the fact that Zach Wilson was your quarterback and maybe the opposing defense wasn't really concentrating too much on what he was trying to do and shutting down the pass game because they were more worried about the run. And the other thing, too, the offensive line is banged up. You know, yes. It is what it is, right? I mean, those dudes are battling. There's no secret. And look, in week 17, you're not going to have a lot of options to be able to go to the bullpen and make lineup changes and this and that. I mean, they've already gone through a million different offensive linemen this year, and these are the 5 guys that they feel work together best. And they're going to have to get the job done. There's no other way around it. It's sink or swim at this point with these guys.
And I'm getting nervous just thinking about, because Mike White coming back from the fractured ribs, and you sat on Santa Claus. Did you hope or did you wish that he would come back and remain healthy? Did you throw that last part into in there, or was it just that he's going to come back?
Well, I don't think a cameo was implied. I think what was implied was, you know, for him to stay in there long term for the rest of the season and be the quarterback. Like, because this wasn't one of those. It wasn't a Santa Claus request of, you know, have Mike White step on the field for a cup of coffee and then get hurt again and then have to be out for 3 weeks. No, that's not the way this works.
Because when we got the you know, report, or we saw Saleh announce yesterday, Joe Flacco's the backup quarterback. Listen, that confidence that I have right now immediately dissipates if Mike White gets hurt. Because I don't have any faith in Joe Flacco. We saw him against Buffalo. That was a train wreck. So I'm just hoping that, you mentioned the offensive line, that they can do well enough in pass protection to keep this guy just upright. Just make sure he doesn't get hurt. Please, keep him on the field. He's been bitten by injuries.
It's a big part of it. And, you know, we spent a lot of time discussing what the future holds and how he's going to factor maybe into the quarterback situation with this team. All that goes out the window if he's not on the field. You need him to be able to play and to stay durable for him to actually make a case to maybe being the answer and the solution for the quarterback position moving forward. So you're spot on. I mean, that has to be the case. Now, that's the Jets. As far as the Giants are concerned, and this Big Blue report on 98.7 ESPN is driven by Ramsey Mazda. We started off the show talking about the Giants in that first hour and really circling back to last night's Monday Night Football game with the Chargers and the Colts, because if you're a Giant fan and you watched the Colts last night and also knew today that they're sticking with Nick Foles as the quarterback, nothing is a given. Nothing is given in this world, much less in the NFL. But if you fancy yourself a playoff team and a club that has played winning football this year in your building at home, the Giants do not deserve to be in the playoffs if you cannot beat that Colts team that we saw on national TV last night and since really halftime of the Vikings game a couple of weeks ago when they blew a 33-0 lead, is probably one of the worst clubs in the NFL. The Giants have to win this game on Sunday. Have to.
They have to, and I think that they will. Saquon, you remember that the two worst games to me of the season happened back-to-back in those losses to Detroit. And then the following week, it was to the Cowboys that, you know, Saquon just wasn't himself. And the right. Giants are just not the same team when Saquon's not running the ball effectively. And, you know, since then, the last two couple of games, he's rushed for 171 yards and two touchdowns. And that's the key to their success. So early in the show, I praised Daniel Jones for what he's been able to do. But the blueprint for the Giants, Saquon, go out there, be awesome. Daniel Jones, do what needs to be done, you know, in big critical situations, whether that's you escaping for a first down or you hitting someone in stride, and the Giants will be able to win the game because their defense, you know, despite all the injuries, is actually playing pretty well. I'm not even considering, Dan, that they're going to lose this game. This is Giants win. They get back to the playoffs for the first time since 2016. And if you're in that stadium, you can celebrate because no one thought this team was a playoff team coming into the year. No one. Brian Daboll deserves a ton of credit, and we use this word culture. To me, I mean, it gets overused, but here's a simple way to look at it. Culture is winning. You start winning, that's the culture, and he's brought winning to this franchise. So, yes, he's changed the culture.
And you got to view it as a home playoff game, right? Because Giants aren't going to get a home playoff game this year. This is their home finale. Go pack that stadium on Sunday. Yep. You know, treat it as if this is your playoff game. You've got an extremely vulnerable opponent, a very, very winnable game. And Brian Daboll, who still gets my vote for coach of the year, despite the fact the Giants have lost some games here over the last several weeks, but he is still the coach of the year. He and his staff, Wink Martindale and company, should coach circles around Jeff Saturday in the Indianapolis Colts. Like, I mean, really and truly, like, I know you just want to win the game. If you're the Giants, you almost need to win this game convincingly to feel good about what you're doing. Because the Colts right now, if we're going to look at the last six quarters, don't look like an NFL team in any way, shape, or form. They're really that bad.
They are a disaster. This is the same Colts team that gave up 54 points. 54. And I know Dallas is good, but 54 points?
Well,
to the Cowboys.
The ball over every possession. That's why.
I mean, every single possession, it felt like they were just giving the ball away. They lost a game up 33-0. Just since Jeff Saturday has taken over. How about this? Is there an argument that since Jeff Saturday has taken over, like, this isn't the worst team in all of football? Because at least the Texans beat the Titans last week, and then, you know, they went to overtime with the Chiefs, almost beat the Cowboys. So I know, you know, Houston hasn't been winning a lot of games, but they've at least shown some life. The Colts under Jeff Saturday might be the worst team in the NFL.
Well, if you look at the last four games, here's what the Colts have done. Okay. Remember, they beat the Raiders, and then that Eagles game, like, they were winning much of that game. Yeah. And remember, Philadelphia had to pull it out at the very end. And you're thinking after the first two games, you're like, well, maybe they're onto something with this Jeff Saturday thing. Then you had the Steelers game on Monday night, which they lost by a touchdown. But that was also the game where Jeff Saturday had no idea how to manage his timeouts at the end of the game.
Right.
So you had that. Then, as you said, you go to Dallas on that Sunday night, and they turn the ball over, like, on every possession in the second half, and it was just Dallas running with the ball down the other end of the field consistently. The Vikings game, they set an NFL record for blowing the biggest lead. And then you had last night where they looked the most inept. I mean, and you watch that game, and you just wonder, like, nothing in this world is impossible for the fact that Nick Foles beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, and yet is still that guy that we saw last night playing for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, zero.
Like, the two things can't be true, can they?
they cannot be true. But yes, for all the reasons we just outlined, this is a win for the Giants, and you have to feel encouraged based on how they looked in Minnesota against that Vikings team, who I keep calling them frauds, but still, second best record in the NFC. They had only lost one game at home all season long. And you had every opportunity to win it late. It's just that, you know, the best player might be the best receiver in football right now. Justin Jefferson made a big play to win that game to set up the game-winning field goal. But the Giants, you definitely, definitely take care of business this Sunday.
And I think they will. You know, if you want to call it the lock of the weekend, I mean, I have to go look at all the other games, but I think it's as close to a lock as you can possibly. Yeah, lock it up. Why the hell not? I'll say that's the lock of the weekend there. That is the Big Blue Report. It's driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's say hi to Ed in Newark up next here to start off the 5 o'clock hour on the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN. Edward, how are you?
Hey, guys. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year to come. And so I've been on hold for a while. So when I started listening, the conversation was about Daniel Jones, and a couple of callers calling in about, you know, getting rid of Jones and just being really down on him. And then I heard the Gangrene Report, and I'm listening to all the callers talk about, you know, the Jets and their woes at the quarterback position. And I was just thinking while I was on hold was, how would the Jets be doing if Daniel Jones was their quarterback?
Oh, they'd be right in the playoffs.
Instead of either. Absolutely they would be. And you know what? I'm looking at the stats. Well, my son and I were looking at the stats. And you know what? Daniel Jones, the top 15 quarterback this year. No doubt about it. Top 15, top 16 quarterback this year. So I'm thinking, what do we do with him? You know, so I think, you know, we make the playoffs, which is more. Listen, there's no way coming into the season. I thought we'd win 4 or 5 games, and I'm a big, big, big Giants fan. My son and I, you know, we've braved these games in the bitter cold. I mean, we were out there when they went last year when they took the, what was it? They did the quarterback sneaks in the back, and we're freezing our butts out. We're fans. Yeah, and so you know, and this is great as a Giants fan. The fact that we should have beaten Washington for the tie, not for nothing. But that game was on Christmas Eve against Washington. I mean not against Washington, against the Vikings. So I mean, this is more than I hoped for. And Daniel Jones, you give him a 2-3 year contract. You pay him anywhere, somewhere just below what the top 50, the average of a top 15 quarterback is getting, and your franchise tag Saquon, and we're in decent shape going forward. The thing is that with our record, we're not going to be able to draft a quarterback that's going to be the franchise quarterback in our reality where we're going to sit. So let's,
okay.
You know, we're in a good spot.
That's okay, is it not? Right, Ed? I mean, but that's
absolutely
okay. Because I know it seems like it was ancient history ago, but Daniel Jones was, what, the 6th pick in the draft or whatever he was. And it's taken a few years and a different regime for him to start playing winning football. But you got there.
Absolutely.
And
listen, not for nothing, but with his ability, a couple – and I love Daboll. I think, without a doubt, he's up there. And I think anybody with half a brain that knows football will tell you that he's up there as far as coach of the year. But a couple of these third down and fours, I think Daniel Jones hasn't been used to his capability. I think you could use him to run a trick play here and there and get those 3-4 yards. and get that I think the coaching staff could actually open it up, and in the playoff game or close to a playoff, you got to let this guy loose. I mean, not for nothing, but the guy could get you 4 or 5 yards. And the fumbling, listen, we straightened it out with Tiki. Coach the guy up. You're going to take a hit. Don't fumble the ball, all right? Put 2 hands on the ball. Put your head down like a running back. Slide. Do whatever you got to do. But the guy is okay. I'm happy. As a Giants fan, I'm happy, happy, happy. Merry Christmas.
Ed, appreciate the phone call. That's how you have to look at it, right? I mean, the bottom line, you got to be thrilled of what he's been able to do this year. Now, he brought up the turnovers because, remember, that was always like hand-in-hand with Daniel Jones. Whenever you talked about him and, you know, what he needs to do better with and that sort of thing. This year, he's only lost 3 fumbles.
Yep.
Is that acceptable?
To go with 5 interceptions. So only 8 turnovers overall, which is, I mean, much more than you could have hoped for, considering what the numbers said in the past and his pattern.
And I mean, some of them I have to go back and think about them. I mean, but this is a stark difference. A stark. I mean, remember his rookie year, he fumbled like almost 20 times.
I think he was like flirting with the record for fumbles by a quarterback. It was insane. And for him to not just clean that up, but then as we talked about, he was always hurt coming into this season. And this year he started every single game. So from a health standpoint, he's available. And from the taking care of the football, he's improved in all of the major areas we wanted him to improve in. He's shown drastic improvement.
And I agree with, you know, what you guys are saying. I think it goes without saying that if Daniel Jones was the Jet quarterback and he played all, how many games have they played already? What, 15 games?
Yeah.
I think this team is comfortably in the playoffs already.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the 2 New England games, those are victories.
But we could say the same thing about Mike White, too.
Yeah, you could say that about Mike White. But I guess the argument would be Daniel Jones probably wins that game against Minnesota. Because that was right there for the taking. If the Jets had played in the second half the way they did in the first half, you have to believe they win that game.
They probably have at least 3 more wins as a whole, I would say.
Yeah.
Which, hey, I mean, I think anybody would take that. Anybody would. Chris in Huntington up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Christopher, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Happy holidays, guys.
Same to you, Chris.
So I'm just calling about the Jets of this upcoming weekend. How, my personal opinion, I think if they don't get it done this weekend, you could classify the season as a failure because, you know, obviously they exceeded expectations early on, but they got this 4-game losing streak and, Salah needs the coach's team up and get them to get this win this weekend. If they don't do that, then you're going to have some questions about the coaching staff, you know, if they could overcome a losing streak. Obviously their expectations has been, enhanced since they were doing well. But, you know, if they win this weekend, then you clearly could say, all right, we got a coach who can get this team out of a rut. And, you know, Mike White, he beat the Bears. If he could beat Seattle, we got a quarterback who could beat up on the bad teams too. So I think anything else other than that, we got playing with house money. But other than that, yeah, I think this weekend is going to be really telling to coaching staff and quarterback.
Well, Chris, let me play devil's advocate for a second and ask you a question. Do you look at it then if you want to give credit to the coaching staff and say they won 5 games already this year with their third-string quarterback? They're now third-string quarterback.
Wait, Zach Wilson you're talking about?
That's right.
you could say that too. But I would give credit to the coaching staff as well. But when I'm more talking about, you know, we saw them when they were riding hot and they hit this 4-game losing streak. And it's going to be really telling to see if a coach can bring a team that has enhanced expectations. He didn't have that last year, obviously, because the team was a mess. And we're starting to see it unravel a little bit. So I think that this weekend is going to really tell us that if this coaching staff with the expectations enhanced can really get a team out of a rut, I think it's going to be really telling because you need that out of a head coach.
That's fair. Chris, thanks for the phone call. Do you believe, though, expectations, what they were at the beginning of the season versus how you've had to adjust them as you've moved on throughout the year, that it is indeed a failure if they don't make the playoffs?
I know you're going to disagree with me, but I 100% agree with that caller. I understand before the year, Vegas had the number 5.5 wins. So you're you're really not expected to be
which was a joke.
Anything outside of one of the 7 worst teams in football. But once you get to 7-4, and all it, and then we learned that all it would have taken was 9 wins to get in. So you can go, you could be under 500 the rest of the way and still get into the playoffs. You just need 2 wins. I think that's a failure. I do think that's a failure.
Not even thrown into the fact about all the injuries along the way and how you've lost your now starting quarterback for a couple of games, other players here and there.
I think every team deals with injuries.
That's fair.
The most significant is going to be the quarterback. But here's my retort to that. Mm-hmm. Mike White wasn't supposed to be the quarterback that gave you the best chance to win football games this year. It was supposed to be Zach Wilson, who you drafted with the number 2 overall pick, which to me signals why it's a failure. Because you failed in drafting the quarterback. Some would argue maybe it was on the development of, you know, the coaching staff didn't properly develop him. So that means you still failed there. And if you get to 7-4, and I get the injury, you get to 7-4 and all it takes is to get 9 wins, and we're going to say the reason why I didn't make the playoffs was because Mike White got hurt. Well, the guy you drafted number 2 overall was healthy, and you know he just wasn't good enough. So that's why I think it would just be a failure. Look, that, you know, broad stroke, it's a failure.
800-919-3776. That's the telephone number. Well, more football calls. And also, has anybody driven by Citi Field and seen any white smoke coming up through the chimney? Like, do we have any information on a resolution between the Mets and Carlos Correa? And what the heck is the holdup? We'll talk about that coming up next. Dan Gross and Ty Butler in for the K Show, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Dan and Ty, in for the guys here on the K-Show. We're going to have ENN coming up at 6 o'clock, an Anthony Pusick vehicle. Always look forward to that. Still, we wait. We wonder about the latest here for the Mets and Carlos Correa, because apparently they're still trying to hammer something out. John Heyman reported that there is a 55% chance.
What does that mean, by the way?
I don't know. Like,
how do you get to that
number? Well, hey.
I mean, if you tell me it's 55%, I immediately shift to 50-50. But yeah, extra 50-50 5% does
makes
me
sense.
No good.
50-50 makes sense because that's something we can conceptualize. You know,
right.
Like there's a good chance it happened, but the same chance it may not have. 55, like how do we arrive at that number?
I don't know. Unless it's somebody just trying to play games with John Heyman and actually feed him this information to see if he's going to run with it or not. But, you know, he did, and so we're going to take him at his word, whoever the source is. But, yeah, and remember, John Heyman's very, very close to the Boris camp. And Boris, of course, is Carlos Correa's agent. So I kind of trusts the information he's getting in regards to a Boris client that it is indeed going to be true. So the thing is, we also know from another report that the Carlos Correa camp, i.e. Scott Boras and company, they're not interested in redoing and reworking the terms of the deal, meaning $315 million length of the contract. Like, he still wants to get every ounce of that contract that he was originally, you know, contracted and they agreed upon with the New York Mets, barring the physical. But the thing about this is, why are we now entering a situation with the second team in this free agent offseason? Giants, now the Mets. And this thing with the physical keeps kind of like, you know, rearing its ugly head. No teams were briefed on this at all before the offseason began, Ty. And how come last year, when Carlos Correa was a free agent and had to wait out the entire process, and, you know, there was a lockout, so it was a little bit different. But then he signed that deal with the Minnesota Twins. How come we didn't hear anything about this last year? At least to my knowledge, I don't remember hearing anything about medicals or failed physicals with Correa. How come now?
Because I think what happened was that game they played against the Royals late in September, apparently, you know, he tries to slide into second base and, you know, he's tagged and he goes down and he's feeling some discomfort. And after the game, according to The Athletic, he said, he just hit my plate. I had surgery and he hit it, just kind of felt numb, vibrating. So I was just waiting for it to calm down. It was a little scary, but when I moved, I knew it was good. So apparently this is something that did resurface just last season. And now it's becoming the holdup, like you said, for the second straight team. It's interesting to see, because that's a long term, 12 years, man. Like, you have to do your due diligence. So I don't blame the Giants. I don't blame the Mets. That's a long term contract and a lot of money to be given someone. And if he's healthy, he's worth it. But this is the last thing you want to see come up if that's the kind of contract you're doling out, because that's a lot you're investing.
So look at it this way, though, right? This happened late in the season last year. All right, so it was common knowledge. Everybody had it out there. Any team, any suitor that wanted to get into a business agreement with Carlos Correa, like, they knew this happened. And I don't know, call me naive. I would like to think that if I'm going to reward somebody and hand them over a $315 million check, whether I have Steve Cohen money or not, or the San Francisco Giants, which I'm not, I forgot. San Francisco, the contract was $360, right?
Yeah, it was 13 for $360.
$360 and $315. I mean, that is a nice chunk of change if you can get it. You mean to tell me, with the thorough research, backwards and forwards, up and down, the way they know these guys and are supposedly having all the intel and they talk to this person, that person, something that happened during a game, which is not secretive in any way, and Carlos Correa spoke about on the record after the game, you mean to tell me these teams knew about this information, or maybe they didn't know this information, and they still were in a good enough peace of mind to hand over a contract with that many zeros on it, to where now something is popping up pertaining to this in the physical and the medical, to now where that contract is going to be something that is in question? I my thing is, why didn't you decide upon all this stuff before you agreed to the terms, right?
It's very weird. Well, I think what makes it more weird, too, is that unlike the Giants, Steve Cohen, obviously the owner of the Mets, actually publicly spoke about the deal.
Right.
And he said, you know, this was the missing piece and we went out and got it. So it kind of feels like the Mets are, like, this deal is still going to happen. But I just wonder, like, if you are, and I would love to ask, like, someone who covers baseball this, but if let's just say the Mets renege and now all of a sudden, you know, they take the deal off. Like, is there a way you could file a grievance? Because he spoke about it publicly. So, like, what does that mean as far as this contract is concerned, if they don't come to an agreement on what the provisions are to protect themselves from a potential injury or re-injuring of this leg?
You have the legal recourse, 1,000%, because that's already been reported here, to your point. But here's the question. If you really want to go down that road, what does that do in terms of potentially jeopardizing the relationship between that team? And look, that owner's not going anywhere. Steve Cohen's going to be the guy who's running the Mets for hopefully many, many, many years into the future. And you also know that if you are somebody like Scott Boras and you have a lot of good clients and guys who generate a lot of revenue and income for yourself, that the Mets are always going to be a team that's in business for one of your prime guys. So do you want to go ahead and potentially fracture that relationship by getting involved in a grievance? I think that would be the last avenue necessary to pursue. And that's why I think they're going back and forth and trying to hammer something out. But, you know, when you hear the player side saying that they're not interested in working out a reconstructed contract, well, no kidding, because he wants to make sure he gets all of the money that they agreed to. There's just got to be something probably like the incentive or protection for the club, no?
Yeah, the added layer to that, though, is his camp, they don't really want to have any of these provisions. But it still does say that he wants to be a Met. Like, he is determined to play in New York. And we saw with his, you know, ability to switch positions and go to third base because he was that determined to be a Met. He's like, you know, I don't even need to play shortstop, a la what A-Rod did with Jeter. So it looks like this deal is going to get done. I don't know what 55% means. But are you nervous at all, Dan? Because this is the missing piece. We saw last year, I know the pitching kind of fell apart at the end, but many of the struggles that occurred for you later in the season was because you didn't have that big bat. And once Marte got hurt, that compromised your offense. So adding this, you know, to Alonso, Lindor, and Nimmo, who you just brought back, like, this is a huge deal. So I would imagine you're nervous right now.
Actually, I'm not, to be quite honest with you. Yeah,
wow.
Because you know what? I look at Carlos Correa for the Mets. Now, granted, you're not kicking him out of the room, right? I mean, if he's willing to come here and it's not my money, it's not your money, then who cares? Of course, you'd like to have a guy on that team. I almost look at Carlos Correa like I viewed Giancarlo Stanton at the time for the Yankees. It's not a necessity. It's a luxury. It's a luxury. Like, if you take Carlos Correa off the Mets, all of a sudden, do they become a team that's missing the playoffs? Do they become a team that can't win the National League East as presently constituted?
Yeah, but no, that's not the goal, Dan. Like, the reason why you're going out there and you're bringing in Verlander and you're, you know, paying what the tax bill, you know, by bringing back Nimmo and making all these deals is not to win the NL East and not to get back to the playoffs. You're trying to win a championship.
Can't you win 100 games already without Carlos Correa?
Yes, you did last year.
That's what I mean. That's good enough because it doesn't guarantee you anything. Like, as we saw this past year, Philadelphia was the last seed in the NL, right? They were a third-place team in their own division, and yet they went all the way to the World Series. They came a couple of wins shy of hoisting the trophy. So baseball playoffs are a crapshoot. Right? Like, you can have the highest payroll, all that stuff. It doesn't guarantee you anything. So even without Correa, Mets are a playoff team. They'll probably win in the neighborhood of 100 games if those pitchers could stay healthy. Then once you get to the playoffs, it's anybody's guess. And I'm sure that this team would remain active even at the trade deadline, that if they are lagging in an area in particular, Steve Cohen and Billy Epler, they're going to go out there and be active in the trade front, you would hope. So, yeah, great to have them, but I don't think it's required – you know, a required acquisition for the Mets to say, we win a World Series because of Carlos Correa.
Well, not it's not going to guarantee anything, but you do feel better about getting a guy who's on the market right now, who we know come postseason is as money as they come. And I saw it as a Yankee fan. Yeah, they were cheating. But what was it, Game 2 in 2017 where you hit the walk-off in Houston? We've seen this guy deliver time and time again in the postseason.
Oh, he's huge.
So For the Mets to add this to their lineup, like I said, that already includes you know, some stars, this is a big deal. This it's not gonna change whether or not they can win 100 games. We saw them do that last year. They you know, got to the playoffs. We saw them do that last year. But as far as getting over that hump, I think this is a monumental deal.
If you ask me, I still think like Justin Verlander is a more important acquisition than a Carlos Correa would be.
Yeah.
Re-signing Brandon Nimmo, yes, I think, is more important. Re-signing Edwin Diaz, more important, believe it or not. So, you know, who knows? Maybe even Kodai Senga might even be more important. And he's an X factor for me. I don't know what to expect. I can't sit here and tell you what I know he's going to be or not be. None of us saw this guy pitch, at least in terms of, you know, in Major League Baseball. It'd be great if it gets worked out. But do I think it's going to make or break their season one way or the other? I just don't think it does.
I don't think it'll make or break their season. But, I mean, to look at it and say, I think Justin Verlander is more important, Nimmo is more important, I would agree with that. It's just we're not subtracting those guys. We're adding Correa to a mix, you know, that includes Verlander, that includes Nimmo coming back and Edwin Diaz. And I think this team with Correa – become, and maybe they are the favorites in the National League East already, but I think with Correa, you become overwhelming. Sounds like a bridge too far, but I feel really good about you being the favorites in this division.
And besides, if it doesn't get worked out and he's not a Met, who, you know, you just stem the tide for a year because Manny Machado will be their third baseman anyway next year when he opts out of his contract after San Diego.
Calling it. And Shohei Ohtani's coming too, right? He's coming.
And Shohei Ohtani.
Juan Soto's going to opt out. Or Juan Soto's got, what, like 2 years left on his deal? He's going to be playing outfield for the Mets as well. Just bring them all here.
Steve Cohen's tax bill is going to be like over $500 million. Hey, it's not my money. I'm okay with that.
Well, the fans, it's cool to say that. It's not my money, but don't be mad when you get to Citi Field and it's $75 for a hot dog. $100 for a beer.
Ticket price is going to go up, but that's okay. Yeah. You know, look, you don't have to go to the games.
Yeah, no, you can.
You don't have
home
to go to the games. You know, you nice comfy couch. You sit and you watch the games on TV. It's still going to be the same. But hey, you know what? If you want to, you want to give, you want to get, vice versa. That comes with the spoils here. But I think that any fan would happily make that trade off because it means that good things are happening for their team, and you're going to get a lot of enjoyable days when you go to the ballpark or when you're watching your team on TV all summer.
Definitely. And I did see that the Yankees are maybe talking to Carlos Correa's camp. So I know there's a surplus.
Now, see, that would be spicy. That would be spicy if they swoop in at the 11th hour and they get Carlos Correa from the Mets and they're like, oh, that's all right. We don't even look at the physicals. Who cares? And then just give him whatever he wants.
We don't look at physicals.
We need the Mets to go run that Carlos Correa medical over to the same doctor that cleared Mike White. That's what we need. You know, he gave Mike White the checkup and the green light. That's what we need for Carlos Correa.
Well, the Yankees re-signed Hicks, who's always hurt. They re-signed Severino, who's always hurt. After they re-signed DJ LeMay, he keeps getting hurt. So just bring Carlos Correa. He's no different than the other guys on this team who are injury prone anyway.
Happily welcome Carl Pavano, all those other guys who, you know, had the injury track record beforehand.
Frankie Montas last year pitched like two innings right, and then was hurt.
Yeah, this was a guy who had shoulder issues and was shut down with the Oakland A's even before they trade him.
So maybe they didn't look at his medical records either. It's just all part of the process.
You know what? If he can walk, he could breathe, he's good for us. We'll take our chances if he could contribute or not. Calls coming up. We got ENN at 6 with Anthony Pusick, Dan and Ty in for the K-Show, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Going to have ENN coming up at 6. Anthony Pusick at the helm for that one. Looking forward to it. Let's say hi to Steve in Queens. He's up next here on 98.7. Stevie, how we doing?
Dan, Ty, happy holidays, guys. How are you?
Steve, same to you. What's going on?
Good. I had 2 points. One a Giant point, one a Jets point, and then about Correa. Quickly, about the Jets, you were talking a little bit earlier about do we give the coaching staff credit for the 5-game winning streak as we're giving them flack for this 4-game losing streak? I would say no, because Jets, if you remember back then, weren't winning the games because of Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's numbers were terrible even in their wins. It was basically, he was just a game manager. It was just basically the running game. I would argue losing Breece Hall was a bigger impact on them negatively than Zach Wilson not playing well, because they were just doing it with defense and running the ball. That's why they were winning 5 in a row. It was nothing great as far as the quarterback play goes, except that one game with Flacco against Cleveland in week 2. So, I think that, you know, the coaching staff really didn't do much with the quarterbacks at all, to be quite honest with you. So, I think losing that running back from Iowa State, Breece Hall, was the main reason that you're seeing them choke coming down the stretch, because their running game isn't as effective, which puts more pressure on the quarterback, whoever it may be. And now you get to see the flaws of Zach Wilson, which you didn't get to see earlier in the season.
Well, it was like a two. You know what it is? you know what it is, Steve, real quick? It was like a two-for-one deal. You're right about Breece Hall, but remember also they lost AVT, Elijah Vera Tucker, in that game. And losing Breece, their best offensive lineman, your home run hitter on offense, it's true. And, you know, if you go back since that Denver game, they're 2-6.
Yep.
Yeah, no, you're right. But again, the quarterback play just hasn't been great all season, to be quite honest. And, you know, Mike White's their best opportunity. Honestly, I'd rather see I think the two teams already in the Dolphins and the Chargers are the teams that, like, nationally everyone would rather see. No one outside New York really cares about the Jets, to be quite honest with you. There's nothing like really – no one sticks out on their team, really. Maybe Sauce Gardner does, but everyone wants to see the big quarterbacks and, you know, the new offenses and that sort of thing. So more than likely – I hate to burst your bubble. I don't even think they're going to beat Seattle next week. Because Seattle's going to be playing hard, too. They want to get the 7th seed, too. And I want to see the Lions, personally, because I think the Lions and the Giants would be interesting as wild card teams and make the games competitive. But I don't see them winning against Seattle, just my opinion. What else? Oh, about the Giants. Suppose they lose to the Colts. Let's hope they don't. I don't think they will, like you guys said. But if they do, do you think the Eagles are going to rest their starters week 17? Gives us an opportunity to win that game.
It depends on if they had the number one seed locked up.
Don't they? I think they do, though.
No, they don't.
Not yet. They still got one
game. They're a game ahead of Minnesota, and they have the tiebreaker on Minnesota. Oh. Remember, if Philly loses out, Minnesota wins out, Minnesota gets the top seed.
So let's hope the Eagles win next week. That's, you want the Giants to win, you're hoping the Eagles, I guess, win. So,
or Minnesota loses, one or the other, which I think could happen. I think Minnesota could lose at Green Bay. And Steve, thanks a lot for the phone call. Really appreciate it. You know, we'll see what happens. I disagree what he said, though, about, you know, national appeal for the Jets. I think they're a little bit more than just Sauce Gardner. You know, Quinnen Williams is a guy who's going to be an all-pro. You know, they might have the offensive and defensive rookie of the years this year. Don't forget about Garrett Wilson.
I was going to say, you ever hear of Garrett Wilson, buddy?
Yeah, Garrett
the numbers
a nice
he's putting
player.
Up this year.
Nice little player. It's very true. Ronan and Newberg up next year on 98.7. Ronan, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Happy holidays to you and yours.
Good. What's going on?
Hey, you know, I got 2 points here. One about the Giants, one about the Mets. You know, I was thinking, first of all, I just got into this argument at this bar with this Yankees fan because he said for years that Mets fans talk smack to them about buying championships, and now the Mets are doing the exact same thing. You know, and another, he was a Tigers fan. He said it's bad for baseball. I don't think it's bad for baseball, personally. I think, you know, the Mets are a big market team. We always have been. I don't think New York is as Yankees as the rest of the country thinks. You know, there's a lot of Mets fans in this town, and I don't go into a season saying, you know, I hope that we really build our farm system. I go into a season hoping to win a ring. So,
can I just say something real quick before you get to your Giants point? Look, I am a diehard Yankee fan. I actively root against the Mets. I feel like it is so goofy for people to say that what Steve Cohen is doing is bad for baseball. Like, could you imagine an owner doing everything in his power to help his team win a championship, and we're saying that's bad for the sport? It's so silly to me. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I think that you got to, you know, if you got we bashed the Wilpons for years for not loosening up the pocketbooks. And now this guy comes in and does it, and, you know, we got the quote-unquote purist saying that it's bad for the game. It's nonsense. But to my Giants point, I want to get your opinion on you know, whether or not you think Jones is the future. Because for me, I hated the guy since day one. I've been a big, you know, advocate against him. However, I watched the Minnesota game on Sunday, and he's doing everything, you know, besides that one stupid pick, he's doing everything he can to put the team in a position to win. And guys, what do you do about guys just dropping passes? But my other thing is he good enough to build around? You know, let's say we did go out and get a top tier receiver in free agency or somebody in the draft, somebody nice. Do you think that Jones is that guy moving forward that could really take this team to the next level, considering some of the terrible games that we've lost this year?
Let me ask you this. How many wide receivers right now that are currently starting for the Giants would even be starting? Forget about the rest of the league. How many would even be starting for the Jets?
Oh, these guys wouldn't start on my high school football team.
Well, there you go. Ronan, you answered the question, and that's why you got to give Daniel Jones a lot of credit there. And we thank you for the phone call. You know, he might not have been your cup of tea. You know, you thought he was maybe overdrafted, which I think, you know, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to say. But what he's done this year, I think he kind of paints a completely different picture of himself and what he could be as a quarterback. I think if you're a Giant fan, don't worry about 10 years into the future. Ty, if you want to talk about immediate future, Daniel Jones is the immediate future for the Giants. And you know what that means next year, as far as I'm concerned?
Yes, and I would agree with that. I think he's shown you improvement in every area where he had question marks. And because you believe in a guy who's going to win the Coach of the Year and Brian Daboll, assuming they can, you know, lock it up and get into the playoffs, because you believe in him and you have confidence in Joe Shane and his ability to bring in some talent, I'm fascinated to see what Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley look like with actual, you know, talented receivers out there who would start on, what was that guy's name? The last caller, whoever his
Ronan
name is,
Newber.
Would start on his high school team. With receivers who could actually start on his high school team. I want to see Daniel Jones with those guys.
Got to get some game film on that team, you know, scout the opponent, break down the all 22, maybe. ENN, an Anthony Pusick vehicle, coming up next. Dan and Ty for another 60 right here on 98.7 ESPN.